Poorly Read.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
I love Tom's like faux enthusiasm.
Nothing faux about it, mate.
It's some real ass shit.
Some real ass shit.
Yeah, should we tell people this is our second record of the day?
I think we just have.
Oh, God. So things spin into oblivion. You know why? I'm sure it'll be fine.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
We are getting straight back into Harry Potter and the Goblet.
I was waiting. What accent is he going to go for? And I could see the indecision.
I don't know, but I want there to be one that I haven't tried that I have a reference for.
Have you tried Australian?
No, I haven't. Okay, wait. Here we go. Right. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Harry Potter. No. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Fire.
Fire. Fire. Fire.
Maybe.
Fucking hell.
What is it? Fucking Australian, mate. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
That was pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Fire. I'm so shit. I'm so shit.
All right. Where are we starting then?
Chapter 20.
Chapter 20, the first task.
First task.
Interestingly, we are now over the halfway point.
Are we?
In this book, yeah. There's 37 chapters. So halfway through chapter 19 would have been halfway. In terms of chapter count, anyway. I don't know about like page count. But...
Swish, well, we're halfway through this fucking godforsaken tome.
We're steaming through it.
We're Cleveland steaming our way through.
Giving this book a good Steamboat Willie.
Giving it a good Hot Richard. Oh, God. So fucking Harry wakes up and that's the end of the chapter.
He goes to find Hermione and wants to take her out for a walk.
Yeah, take her behind the woodshed.
The woodshed.
Yeah. Where's Hermione, Harry? You don't need to worry about her anymore. She's gone to live with the other animals downstate. Yeah, I drove her there yesterday. Will I ever see her again? No. She was foaming at the mouth. Are you sure?
You sure that was a mouth?
She was foaming at a mouth. Either way, that's an indication of a rabid dog. So I shot her. Oh, God. Yeah, he tells her about the dragons and what Sirius had said.
Yeah, and they're trying desperately to think of a simple spell that would let him get past the dragon. And, like, was Sirius hinting at the summoning spell?
No, so it turns out Sirius was hinting at the conjunctivitis spell that I think Crumb used on the dragon.
Oh.
Or, yeah, that Crumb used on the dragon. Because the eyes are the most vulnerable part of a dragon. So that's what Sirius was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they go to the library to try and do some...
research
trying,
into...
Yeah, I was going to say librarying. yeah, they go through lots of different books. One is called Men Who Love Dragons Too Much. Oh, God, and all you see is fucking Hagrid's, like, muddy fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, oh, there appears to be no page 21 in the middle of this.
Oh, no, wait.
It's just...
Hermione gets annoyed that Crumb keeps turning up in the library because his like gaggle of fangirls keeps following him around and just being disruptive and annoying.
And she's like, he's not even that good looking. I'm like, that's a very un-Hermione-ish thing to say. So I'm wondering if she actually thinks the complete opposite.
Yeah, or if she's trying to be like, these girls are stupid and they only go after good-looking people, so I don't understand why they're going after him. But maybe she just wouldn't even think in those terms, or maybe she
just seemed odd, especially after what she said to Ron earlier.
Yeah.
It seems a bit out of character for her to make a comment like that, so I reckon it's because she actually really fancies him. Which she does, we know, but I mean, like, you know, she doesn't want to betray anything.
Mm.
But the wet spot on her seat does it anyway. He's not even that good looking, she said.
Unsticking herself.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, we've been there twice already. We've been recording 5 minutes. So Harry's like just panicking. He's legit considering running away from the castle because he can't deal, basically.
Yeah.
But then he knows he's never really going to do it. Hogwarts is the only place that's ever really felt like home. And he takes some small comfort in the idea that he would rather be where he is with the prospects he's facing than back at Privet Drive with Dudley.
Yeah, I think I would as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Even how stressful all of this is, it's still quite exciting.
Yeah, you know? Exactly, yeah.
Harry, he sees Cedric kind of walking around with all his sort of friends and stuff, and he wants to try and get Cedric on his own because he does want to warn him about the first task.
Exactly, yeah, realizing he's the only one who doesn't know now. So in order to get Cedric's attention and try and separate him from his crowd, he uses, is it Defindo?
I think so.
To split Cedric's bag and make his book spill everywhere.
It's like, oh, wrong bag! And Cedric lay dying.
Oh god, the blood!
Well, at least you'll always be able to sing in the school choir now. So Cedric's bag splits in the corridor.
I'm like, was that really necessary?
I think in the heat of the moment, that's just the only thing you could think of. I think it was quite reasonable, I think, because it did make him stop.
And it did.
Like, not again. He's brand new as well. He's like, guys, go ahead. It's fine. I've got to pick all this up. Which he does by hand and not by magic, which is the weird bit.
Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't just repair his bag. but in that moment, Harry, like, bounds up to him and he's like, Cedric, hi.
And the first like, ask is dragons.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? Hi, Harry.
Yeah, and then does he say, how do you know?
I can't remember.
Let's just assume he does. He goes, how do you know? And Harry goes, I can't tell you.
Yeah, I just know. We just need to get past them.
Yeah. It's
and
dragons.
Like, why are you telling me?
And I was like, shh, it doesn't matter, man.
Just go with it, bro.
Just gives him a kiss on the lips, and Cedric's like, and I'll let that one go on the account that your parents are dead, but.
Five more instances of that, and I'm going to get mad.
Cedric goes off, and Moody comes along because he's just seen what Harry did.
Yeah.
He's like, Harry, come to my office.
And Harry's like, oh, shit.
Yeah. And they go to the office. And when they get in there, Moody's like, take off your clothes. No, he's like, he says that's a very fine thing you did there, warning Cedric about the dragons. And Harry's like, oh, did you know about the dragons too? Or something like that. Or how do you know about the dragons or whatever?
Yeah. Or he says like, that's taken him by surprise. And I think maybe it's just the look on Harry's face that betrays him. But Moody's like, don't worry about it. Cheating's a staple
that's
part of the tournament for years.
Like Dumbledore wants this to be as highbrow as he wants, but just never going to stop the others from trying to get one up on Dumbledore. And Harry's like, okay. And then Harry kind of looks around the office and he sees like lots of like weird objects.
Yeah, there's a sneaker scope that he says he's had to disable because there's all sorts of like students lying about homework and stuff everywhere. But it's because he's the untrustworthy one.
Yeah, because he's got a faux glass as well, which has like spooky figures moving around. And he's like, it's okay. I'm not in real trouble until I can see the whites of their eyes, which does happen later. And he has another thing as well, but I can't remember what it is. We see the box.
It's an old weird looking like aerial.
That's it, something detector.
A something detector, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. This is what I get Sky Sports on.
Yeah.
Harry's like, oh, yeah, we have that at home. Moody's like, good. I'm glad we can bond over something.
Babe station?
Yeah, there's like a trunk in the corner that has lots of locks on it and stuff. I don't think Moody says anything about the trunk, does he?
No, Harry doesn't get the chance to ask. He just sort of notes it. Yeah. Moody's like, I can't tell you what to do, Potter, because that would be unfair. But I can give you some advice. Play to your strengths.
What are Harry's like, you want me to molest the dragon?
My fingers are very nimble.
Moody's like, if you can make a dragon happy, you can make anyone happy, Harry. And he slowly unbuttons his tunic. And Harry's like, for fuck's sake, fucking get a new joke, Gifted.
And Moody's then, like, I know you're never supposed to tickle a sleeping dragon.
But how about a sleeping snake, eh? Harry's like, I can barely see it. It's so small.
Well, snake, worm, you know.
Worm that's been cut in half by a shovel, you know. All the phallic references you can think of, Harry. And then Harry's like, I don't know what my strengths are. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm good at Quidditch, I guess.
Exactly.
And Harry's like,
but I'm not allowed a broom.
And then Moody's like, but you got a wand, Harry. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My Moody impression has slowly morphed into Uncle Fester from the Addams Family. Yeah. And then Harry's like, ah. And he gets up and slowly backs out of the
office.
He's
like, ah. Sorry, I'm still not following. I can't fly on my wand, can I?
And Moody's like, no, just gotta find a way. And Harry's like, I can't understand you, but this is making me so uncomfortable. I don't want to ask you what you just said. So I'll just nod and say, oh my god, yeah, I'll go do that. And then I'll get up and then I'll leave.
No, you've fallen asleep.
But you're still erect, okay.
Constant vigilance.
Can you imagine if, like, constant vigilance was actually the name of his, like, deceased wife? Oh, like a proper, like, old-timey Victorian school mom. Yes, fine woman she was. Always wore things right up to the collar, you know? Never got wet, though. Never. Just made it all the more challenging.
Oh, I can still feel the friction burns.
Driver Jyla, small cock, is a match made in heaven. But she died when I accidentally created a forest fire. It's okay. I just blended on spontaneous human combustion. She died as she lived.
It's too dry. She caught fire instantly.
You know that thing when you rub a stick in the hole in a plank? It smokes. Imagine that, Harry. But fleshy.
Okay, so playing to my strengths.
constant. And Harry's like, okay, I think I should go. This is obviously a mistake in every way.
You're obviously having some sort of episode.
Yeah. So it sort of dawns on Harry's like, flying, I think. And then Moody's like, exactly.
And then, yeah, and then sort of like cut to, Hermione, I need you to teach me how to do summoning charms by tomorrow afternoon.
And Hermione's like, oh, I've been waiting for this. And she rips off her robe and she's got her special teaching costume on underneath. And he's like, you must have been very warm in that.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, Moody lent it to me. He said it belonged to his wife, but
yeah.
There's a weird burn hole in the crop. Wow. So they get to it, basically, because he has to learn to do a summoning charm, by next afternoon because the task is next evening, is it?
It's, yeah, it's during the afternoon the next day. Lessons stop at midday.
That's it, yeah. So they find an empty classroom. They try it out. Harry's not really that successful. They go to potions, I think.
Well, it's...
Was it charms next?
It's divination.
That's what I meant.
It's one of them.
They go to a lesson.
Yeah, well, Hermione, Harry said he wanted to skip divination, but Hermione was said there was no way she was skipping whatever the hell she has. So
Muggle studies.
Probably.
We know. Today she's showing us, I don't know, footage of some kind of rally. And Harry's like, oh, Hermione, I kind of want to say something, but I'm intrigued to see where this goes. So yeah, when he's in divination, he's practicing under the table and he manages to make a fly land in his palm, but he's not sure if that was just a fly doing it of its own accord or if that was his summoning charm.
Yeah.
So that evening they go back to the common room. They're still practicing. And then by 2 a.m, Harry finally thinks he's got it.
By God, he got it.
Yeah. Where is that from? That's like a quote from something, isn't it?
Yeah. I actually don't know. A thing that old people say.
Yeah, it's like, by God, I think he's got it. And then whatever the thing he's been trying to do, he does. I imagine it's a tap dance. It seems like something from like an old-timey musical or something.
Oh, it's from My Fair Lady. Oh, when she's...
Red in Spain, falling lonely on the plain. Like, by God, I think she's got it.
Oh, I think that probably is a thing people know then.
Yeah.
So we just sound like idiots.
Not really, I've seen that film a lot.
Well then, why didn't you know?
Oh, I didn't remember that bit. All I remember is how fucking annoying Audrey Hepburn is in that film. She's doing like a worst Cockney accent ever.
Yeah.
And all the time she goes, oh, no, I'm a good girl, I am. And it's like, fuck off.
You say you're thinking of becoming a film critic.
One star. She says this and I said, fuck off. No, it's actually a really good film. Apart from that. Then Harry fucking...
Okay, that's a much more fleshed out review now.
Oh, God.
All right, sorry. So
Harry chucks a book at Hermione, the dictionary, Webster's dictionary. No, chucks it and then he accios it and it zooms across to him. Yep. And then she's like, you know, Harry, I really think you've got it now. And then he's like, yeah, it's one thing making something fly across the room and trying to summon a broom from my room here or something. And she goes, as long as you're concentrating hard enough, it'll work exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, let's hope, hey?
Let's hope.
Because if it fucking don't...
He's toast.
Yeah. Not like the shit toast that you brought in, Hermione. Like,
like Moody's toast. Wife toast.
Yeah. I also thought, how fucking difficult is this spell that Harry, it took him this long to master it?
Yeah, he says, say, like, he doesn't know why he was struggling with it so much. It was like he just had a weird kind of mental block around it.
Yeah, it's just a bizarre of all the spells.
Yeah.
It's very basic.
It seems basic in its, like, function, but maybe it does require a lot of concentration or a lot of focus. I don't know.
Oh, so the next day rolls around.
Yeah, lessons stop at midday and McGonagall comes to get him and is all like, I've come to get you.
Yeah. Yeah, I've come to take you. And Harry's like, I swear to God, if you fucking say shortbread, I'm going to dash you so hard in your face.
Yeah, it's been so long since we've referenced that as a joke. I don't know if anyone remembers it.
Oh, I guess I'll just go fuck myself then. McGonagall leads him down to the champion's tent, which is a tent
for the champions.
The rest of them are inside, and then Crouch appears. Or is it Bagman?
It's Bagman. Comes and tells them that their task is to collect the golden egg.
Yeah.
And they all just sort of stand stoically and like, I accept these terms.
And conditions. And then Nisa gives him like a little bag and they each withdraw a dragon and Harry fucking gets the fucking horn tail.
Yeah, Fleur gets the dragon. Welsh green, Crumb gets the Chinese fireball, Cedric gets the Swedish short snout and Harry gets the Hungarian horn tail.
Yeah. And so they all have to await their turn basically to go and like face like the dragons that are waiting for them on the other side. And come to think of it, I'm wondering where they were stowing the other dragons while each dragon was out on the like... pitch, I guess.
Yeah, because by the time Harry walks out, the horn tail is like there and ready.
And so I think Cedric's the first to go.
Cedric goes first, yeah.
And Harry can sort of hear like mufflings of commentary and stuff and like oohs and ahs, but that's it. And then it's Fleur, and then it's Crumb, and then finally it's Harry's turn.
Yes.
And he walks out.
And says?
Ay, caramba.
It's actually Accio Firebolt, but close.
If I can just like summon a mariachi player. It's like, ah, shit. So yeah, Harry Accios his Firebolt, and he's like, fuck, did it not work? Then he starts to hear a little sound, and then behind him he sees a fireball fucking blaze into the stadium.
And it turns out it bloody did work.
Yeah.
He has got summoning charms after all.
So Harry jumps on the broom, and he flies high up in the air, and the higher he gets, the more he forgets about how scared he was.
Exactly. As soon as he flies up on his broom, it's like he leaves his anxiety behind, and he's back in familiar territory up in the sky on his broom. Isn't that nice, eh?
Yeah, so he starts sort of like...
Diversion tactics.
Yeah, trying to get the Horntail to move away from the eggs because he notices how it's trying to guard them quite like adamantly. It keeps on flying around it, trying to get it to like rear up. And eventually it does. It rears up and completely leaves the eggs uncovered. And Harry does his best like impression of a Ronski feint.
Yep, darts down and gets the fucking egg basically.
Yeah, grabs it and the fucking everyone's roaring, clapping, Harry's... fucking as happy as Larry, or as happy as Harry. Nah.
And and the bagman screams, well, how about that? The youngest champion ends up being the quickest of them all to complete the task. This ought to shorten the odds on Potter.
Yeah, and then he lands back in the tent.
Yeah, he gets swarmed. McGee's all like, that was excellent. And Hagrid's all like, you did it, Harry.
I knew you could fucking do it. I mean, not really. I honestly thought you was going to die. But I'm glad you didn't. It's all right, though. Or just save this grave pit for someone else. I'm sure I can find someone to fill it.
I'm sure one of the Tri Wizard champions will be dead before the end of the book.
Do you know what, Harry? Maybe you will die and I can use it.
Yeah. Look on the bright side.
You'll be right in my back garden. In fact, I might even just keep you inside my house.
In fact, Harry, just slip this with me for a minute, will you?
No, sorry, Harry, it's a pot of pumpkin juice, not embalming fluid. Okay, just step inside. No, it's okay. Oh, I know it's hot. Madame Pomfrey whizzes over. So basically on the return, he sees that they've set up four individual, like, kind of like healthcare cubicles where everyone's being tended to.
Yeah, there's a whole little like triage area and Pomfrey rubs some purple liquid. Oh, he got a cut on his shoulder from the horned tail and she rubs some like purple liquid on it which smokes and burns and then taps it with her wand and it heals.
Yeah, it's just to disinfect it before healing it, and I was like, that seems weird.
Oh yeah, is that what that is? I suppose that's probably what that is, isn't it? Yeah,
she says we need to like clean it up or whatever. I'm like, why? If you heal it then it's healed.
Yeah, but then there's still germs all in you.
But
I don't
why
know.
Would there be? She just fucking... That potion was nothing. It was just a smoking potion. She dripped it on there. It was just like, oh.
It was for added flair.
Yeah. I bet it was just like a hurty potion. She puts it on and goes, ah. Oh, and she's like, oh, yeah. To
teach you a lesson for getting injured.
Yeah. Just teach you a lesson for trying to play with dragons. You only play with Madame Pomfrey. I told you this before. And he's like, where are you from exactly? She's like, never you mind.
Come to think of it, a lot of people in this school seem to change dialects pretty frequently.
Cedric's getting a burn on his face, like, tended to. He's got a salve on his face.
Yep.
And he's like, good job, Harry. And he's like, thanks, mate. And that's when they fell in love. Harry's like, oh, he could Cedric my degree in time.
Okay, and Ron comes charging in with Hermione.
Yeah.
Harry and Ron kiss and make up.
Yeah, I think we can give... Let's... Ron says... Don't try it, man. Ron goes, you know what, Harry? Whoever put your name in that goblet, I reckon they're trying to do you in. And Harry
feels
knows,
all warm and fuzzy in
yeah,
his pants.
He knows that was as good as an apology. And he goes, well, it took you long enough. And then Ron's like, oh, well, Harry, look. And then he's like, don't worry about it. And then Ron's like, no, Harry. And he's like, no, seriously, don't worry about it. And Hermione bursts into tears and goes, oh, you boys. And gives them both a hug.
So then they head outside for the awarding of the points. Madame Maxime gives him an 8. Barty Crouch gives him a 9. Dumbledore gives him a 9. Bagman gives him a 10 and Harry's like, but I got a cut on my shoulder. I shouldn't be giving me a 10. And Ron's like, shut up. Don't worry about it. And then Karkaroff gives him a 4.
Yeah, like a total cunt.
Like an absolute fucking wanker. And he gave Crumb a 10.
Yeah. I hate Karkaroff so much.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad he dies.
He a douche. Does he die?
Yeah. In book 5, I think, they discover him hiding out. They discover his body in a shack somewhere where he's been trying to hide from the Death Eaters since Voldemort's return.
Ah.
Yeah. But yeah, he couldn't escape.
Serves him right, really.
Yeah, so they get told that the next task is not till the 24th of February.
Indeed.
And they have to solve the clue inside the egg.
Yes, the golden egg will open, solve the clue inside, and that Harry is currently tied first place with Victor Crumb.
Yeah, and so they all leave the tent, and Rita Skeeter just fucking pops out of nowhere. She's like, Harry, can I get an interview? Can I get a couple of words? And Harry goes, yeah, you can have a word. Goodbye. Then that's the end of the
said chapter. Harry, savagely. And I was really like, I just really wanted something more intense there. I really wanted her... go fuck yourself. Or, yeah. You know, obviously, he can't literally say that, but something that really implies it more.
Yeah, or maybe if he just, like, I don't know, told her the name of her children and what they wore to school that day, and she's like... Alas, that doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. Which brings us on to chapter 21, the House Elf Liberation Front. I mean, I keep thinking it's like, makes a funny acronym, but it doesn't. Health.
Ugh, that's crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's only because Ron makes it up as a joke, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But that would have been a much better name.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost elf.
They're in the Owlery.
Oh, God.
And I put Ron is S-ing Harry's D.
He is a little bit, yeah.
But Harry appreciates it, as anyone would.
Harry loves getting his D S'd. Hermione just hasn't been up to scratch. It's been all bookish without as many laughs.
Yes, it's hard to be properly filleted when one's filleteur is wearing braces. Yes, Mum and Dad wouldn't let me do it with magic, so they gave me braces. And Harry's like, just don't get anything caught, yes?
I like the way those pingy elastic bands at the back feel.
Please remove the dregs of spinach. Why is he in the Owlery? Is it to tell Sirius about the thing?
Yeah, it's to send a letter to Sirius letting him know that he made it through the first task alive and what he did. And he says you couldn't resist giving Sirius a blow-by-blow account.
I think I laughed at that.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
So they then get back to the common room and it erupts in their faces.
Yeah, everyone's going mental, I put.
Everyone's going fucking mental.
And they ask Harry to open. They ask Harry to open the egg because they want to see what's inside. And it's hollow inside, but a fucking deafening screech emits from it.
Yeah.
And he closes it back up.
And everyone's like, what does it sound like? And I think it's Fred is like, I thought it sounded a bit like Percy singing. Maybe you got to attack him while he's in the shower.
Sounds like an old woman trapped in a bear trap. Yeah. You know. And I was like, no, Harry.
Sounds like Moody's wife when she died.
That sounds like constant vigilance. So yeah, they continue sort of having their party. Fred and George offer Hermione a custard cream. And she's like,
offer Hermione a something. I can't remember what.
No, it is a custard
and
cream.
And she's like, you sure? And they're like, no, don't worry, these are safe. It's the custard creams you want to watch. And then Neville's like, having just put a custard cream in his mouth. And they're like, only joking, Neville, don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
And then later on.
Like minutes afterwards.
Yeah, he bursts into a canary. Yeah. And they're like, oh, it was the custard creams. Canary creams, everybody.
Yeah. Available to order now from Weasley's Wizarding Weasleys. And then Neville starts to molt after a couple of minutes. And then even he joins in the laughter.
Yeah.
I think that's a dope. Like, most of their things that they create are fucking awesome.
Yeah, the tongue toffee's a bit weird.
Yeah, no one really wants that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But just making someone for a few seconds just turn into a... I assume it's a giant canary as well.
Yeah, I sort of imagine it like someone dressed in like a bird costume outside like a fast food restaurant.
Like that's Big Bird.
Oh, that'd be cute. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I wasn't actually imagining Big Bird. I was literally imagining like a giant kind of like fat yellow bird. Just for a few seconds and then pops back in to back to themselves. That's funny. That's a fun gag because it's just like, got ya, and there's no real consequences. Hermione just sort of casually brings up with Fred oh, you've been down to the kitchens, haven't you? And he's like, yeah. She's like, how,
No, she's like, where did you get this food from? Was it the kitchens? Yeah. And then they're like, yeah. Then he's like, how do you get down to the kitchens, may I ask?
He goes, oh, there's a big picture of a fruit bowl. You just tickle the pear and then, wait, why?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, nothing, nothing.
I've got what I needed.
Yes. I just need to know where to throw the canisters. They're like, what? She's like, nothing. Just something we learned about today in Muggle studies. So Harry decides to go to bed, puts his Horntail model on the side, and then he goes, you know, Hagrid had a point. Dragons are all right, really, aren't they? And I was like, oh, that's sort of like sweet, because the little dragon like curls up in like a little like thing and goes to sleep.
Yeah.
I thought that was sweet.
Yeah, it was sweet.
I thought the models were really awesome as well, and I really want one.
So December arrives and brings with it lots of wind and sleet. Hagrid's not sure if the Scroots hibernate or not, so he has the students trying to put them into boxes with all pillows and blankets and shit ready for hibernation. But turns out they don't hibernate, and they don't like being put into little boxes.
Yeah. Why would they, though? on to any of those things. So yeah, he tries to give him a fucking lesson on it. And there's only 10 left now, and they're 6 foot long.
Yeah.
And then Rita Skeeter fucking appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, starts to ask Hagrid all like questions about the Scroots and seems interested in magical creatures. And
she says, where'd you get these from? Or did these originate in England or something?
Yeah, and Hagrid looks all flustered, like
Harry wonders, actually, yeah, where did Harry get these from? And no one's like, oh, who did I say?
Harry.
Oh, fucking hell, sorry.
And then, yeah, they suddenly wonder, shit, yeah, where did Hagrid get these from? And then realise, oh, probably somewhere he shouldn't have.
Yeah, he blatantly created these at home.
They're a result of failed experiments.
So, yeah, basically Rita Skeeter manages to arrange a date for an interview with Hagrid.
Yeah, to ask him more about magical creatures.
Yeah, and I think Hermione warns Hagrid, like, I don't know if that's a good idea. But then he's like, no, she just wants to know about all the stuff I fucking rear. After that, they go to divination.
Yeah, double divination, which Harry finds he quite enjoys now he's got Ron back on side, because it's fun again. And, like, they just spend the day taking the piss out of all the shit they usually take the piss out of in divination.
Yeah. And then as they go back to the common room, Ron and Harry, Hermione's like, she rushes up and she's like, guys, come with me. I have to show you something right now.
Yeah, you've got to come.
And so they go to down this hallway and they see this painting. And
yeah, she drags them down to a place somewhere in the castle they've never been before.
I mean, that could be a lot of places, to be fair.
It's a fucking big castle, isn't it?
Yeah. And then she sees a painting, and then I think Ron says, like, what are we doing here or something? And Hermione goes, down to the kitchens or something. And Harry, you have to see what's down there.
Yeah, they see someone recognizes the painting of the fruit bowl, and either Harry or Ron's like, wait, we know what you're doing. This is house elf liberation shit.
No, that's it. And he goes, oh, yeah, he says something like that. He says, like,
you're back on your house elf hype, basically.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, this isn't about spew, is it? And she's like, it's not spew, it's SPEW.
Yeah, he's like, it's not spew. Oh, have you changed the name then, have you? What's it called now? House Elf Liberation Front.
And so they get into the painting swings open.
She tickles the pear, and then the pear turns into a green door handle.
That's it, yeah.
And then, she lets them into the kitchen, and Dobby immediately appears out of nowhere and, like, tackles Harry.
Yeah, and he's wearing lots of random clothes.
Yeah, he's wearing a tea cozy for a hat and a tie over a bare chest, like children's shorts and odd socks. One of which is Harry's that he gave him to free him.
Oh, I love Dobby so much. So basically, Harry's like, what the fuck are you doing here? And Dobby goes, and then Dobby's like, oh, Dumbledore gave Dobby a job. Dobby was finding it, he explains everything basically. He's like, Dobby was finding it hard getting work because Dobby wants paying now.
And all the other house elves are like looking ashamed and like that,
And then Dobby's like, but Dumbledore was good, sir. He gives Dobby one galleon a week and...
Was it? No, one galleon a week
and one day off a month. And then Hermione's like, that's not very much. And he's like, oh no, Dumbledore offered Dobby 10 galleons a week and weekends off. But Dobby, he likes freedom, miss, but not too much. He likes work better. And then they see Winky kind of sitting by the fireplace. She's fucking got clothes on as well.
Dirty old clothes that have not been kept as well as Dobby's have. And they say hello and she starts
saying some stuff, and Hermione's like, no, it's really awful what Mr. Crouch did to you. And Mankey's like, you will not speak bad of Mr. Crouch. He's a good wizard. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And then Mr. Dobby.
What do you think, Dobby?
Mr. Dobby is such fun. He makes treats for everyone. Dobby's like, yeah, she's still finding it hard to speak ill of her master.
Yeah, she thinks she's still attached to Mr. Crouch and won't speak badly of him.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, can't elves speak their minds about their masters then? And Dobby's like, oh no, mistress, we can never say anything bad about our masters.
Yeah, it's a mark of the house mouse enslavement.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's like, but Dumbledore said that I'm free to call him a balmy old codger if I ever want to, or something like that.
But Dobby wouldn't want to.
That's the second time I've said codger. So what Rita Skeeter said about him must have been something else.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe codger is just one of Dumbledore's favourite words for himself.
Yeah, maybe that's what they used to call, like, it back in the day.
Todger.
Todger, codger.
The codger's todger.
Codger and todger. And then Dobby's like, oh god, Harry says something about the Malfoys, and then...
So you could speak your mind about the Malfoys then or something?
He's like, yes, Dobby could say that his old masters were bad, evil wizards! And then he runs and fucking smacks his head against the table repeatedly.
Yeah. And then
Harry's like, oh, Dobby, stop it. And he's like, oh, sorry, sir. And then...
They mention Mr. Crouch. He's like, you've seen Mr. Crouch here at Hogwarts? And they're like, yes, him and Mr. Bagman are here judging the Triwizard Tournament. And she's like, not Mr. Bagman. He's a bad, bad wizard. Something like that.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, Mr. Crouch must be needing his winky. I literally never put that together. Mr. Crouch is needing his winky. I cut it off and I kept it safe for him. Yeah. Just pulls it out.
Wearing it on like a necklace around.
He said, I should keep it so he doesn't do bad things with it. Oh, Winky knows such bad things. No, bad Winky. And Harry's like, for fuck's sake, can there just be an adult wizard in this fucking universe who's not a complete weird? So Dobby says he wants to buy a jumper at some point, but Ron says he'll give him his Christmas one. And as they leave, Hermione hopes that Dobby rubs off on the other house elves. Yeah, that's kind of the end of that chapter.
Yeah, and that brings us on to chapter 22, The Unexpected Task.
I can't remember what happens in this chapter at all. Luckily, I wrote things down.
It's basically, well, let's work our way through it, shall we? So we open with McGonagall saying, Potter, Weasley, will you pay attention? And they've been having
And Harry's like, what?
Yes, they've been having a sword fight with fake wands. She has an announcement to make and she tells them all about the Yule Ball.
Yeah, which they should have called... No, they shouldn't. I was going to say they should have called it the Christmas Cracker. Yes, the Christmas Cracker happens every tribe. No, do you know what? Fuck it, I like that. I feel like it'd be dope. Sounds more fun.
Yeah, but would it have made sense that they would have called it that 700 years ago?
Oh, good point. Yeah, I wonder when crackers were invented. Probably a Victorian invention, I imagine.
Well, I imagine they've probably been refined.
Yeah, they were probably fucking like death traps back in Victorian days.
Yeah.
Like you fucking pulled the cracker and you got constant vigilance. Yeah, it's going to be from 8 until 12 on Christmas Day.
Yes. And McGonagall asks Harry for a word after class. Harry, yes, assuming it was going to be about the sword fight he was having with Ron, is all just like, yes, I'm sorry. And she says, tells him that the Triwizard champions and their partners traditionally open the ball. And he's like, partners? Yeah. Okay.
And she's like, yes, Potter, everyone must have a partner to dance with. And the champions open the darts. And he's like,
I don't dance.
Yeah, and then she's like, well, you fucking do now. Like,
oh, yes, you do.
Yeah. I have ways of making you dance, Potter. She just slowly lifts up the pack of biscuits and he's like, oh God. Fine. I'll dance.
So basically, he has to ask somebody to the ball.
She says as well that everyone has to wear dress robes.
Yeah.
And she goes, and it's a chance for us to let our hair down. And then, like, Lavender, when she said that, Lavender laughed. And Harry's like, he could see why. McGonagall looked like she'd never let her hair down at any point in her life.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, obviously. Last time she let her hair down, her fiancé got killed. So she's like, that's it, up in the bun. Yeah. So basically they leave the class and they're like, well, we need to fucking get on it then, I guess.
Yeah.
Him and Ron are both like, we need to find dates.
Man, God, just the prospect of like asking a girl this at school.
It'd have been way better if people just went to like the ball and that was it. The fact that you had to find someone to go with, even though once you're actually there, if the first dance wasn't a thing, it wouldn't even matter, you know?
Yeah.
That'd have been better, I think.
Yeah, that they make everyone get a partner.
Yeah, it's just so unnecessarily, like, it's just a horrible thing to enforce on a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
know?
It is, yeah. So yeah, Harry and Ron are panicking, basically, and they're like, why do girls all have to move in packs? How are you supposed to get one on their own? And Ron's like, lasso one? Ron's like, you'll have an easier time of it than me, Harry. You being the, doesn't say the chosen one, you know, you being champion and famous and all that. Yeah. It's like, Harry found that Ron was actually right. He got asked by a girl in Ravenclaw and was so surprised he immediately just said, no. Oh. And she walked off looking quite hurt.
He should have chased after and go like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I was just, yeah, let's yeah. just go.
Yeah.
And he would have, everything would have been sorted.
Yeah. But he wanted to ask Cho at that point.
Oh my God, yeah, I totally forgot about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking hell, okay.
Yeah, he wants to ask Cho, but just doesn't know if he can. Like, she's so popular and... But then, yeah, I mean, Harry is like the man, you know?
Yeah, Harry's the most famous kid that's like ever been to that school.
Yeah.
Which is weird that he doesn't really capitalize on that.
No.
He could have like worked that more, I feel. You know why?
You know why if you listen to the last episode.
So Hagrid, they see Hagrid.
And ask him how the interview with Rita Skeeter went. And he was like, oh, she didn't seem too interested in magical creatures, to be honest. She just wanted to know about you, Harry.
Yeah, she just wanted to fucking pluck bits of food out of my beard. After she'd done that, put him in her mouth and rubbed her clitoris on my swollen tongue. Fuck, that's rank. I'm sorry.
That was just like random sex word generator.
Rubbed her clitoris on my swollen foot. It was incredibly necrophile. Yeah, the interview just didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, because she kept trying to ask if Harry had, like, put foot wrong and if he had put foot wrong. Fucking hell.
She just wanted to know if you'd put foot wrong. And I was like, no, he fucking put foot right, you did. Yeah, Snape gives them extra revisions to do over Christmas, which makes no one happy.
And yeah, and Harry wonders at one point what music there's going to be at the Yule Ball, because he said he's never listened to any, because he's never had access to the Wizarding Wireless Network.
Mm.
And I suddenly thought, because they call it a wireless, like, you know, the wizard has a wireless or whatever. It doesn't make sense that they call it a wireless, because at no point would it have ever had wires. Wires are a muggle electricity thing.
I guess so, but since that's like the proper name for what the muggles would call it, what else would you call it?
Well, yeah, but they're so separate.
But
it must have evolved independently.
The same, though. It just runs off of magic.
Yeah, why? It doesn't make sense.
It's because fucking wizards don't have any original thought.
Well, they must do, because they don't know what muggle money is. They don't know what electricity is. They're so segregated in their society.
Yeah, but everything they have pretty much is based on like a muggle invention.
Yeah, I know. And that annoys me, because I don't think it makes sense. But I guess it's all part of the book's flavour as like whimsical, magical quirks on the muggle world.
And it's like, what, like...
But then that's it. The fact that the wizarding world is really just the muggle world, but with these little kind of magical quirks, feels really at odds with how segregated they're portrayed to be. I guess that's a larger discussion about the series as a whole. I don't know why I felt the need to bring that up right now.
I mean, I think they're still stuck. Everything's kind of stuck in that like 1920s to 1950s kind of vibe. And there hasn't been a necessity, I guess, that they found yet for them to advance too much past that.
Mm. Maybe they were more aware of Muggles and involved in Muggles up until...
Maybe.
And then maybe Voldemort's anti-Muggle movement did actually take hold and...
Do you know what? Maybe that would be a good point, actually.
Yeah, and stopped anyone from knowing or learning anything about Muggle society and keep to themselves.
Yeah, and it's like, it might have been that maybe at the time when all these things came into fashion, it was like quite, it was like the vogue to have Muggle like things, if that makes sense, or to have things yeah. styled after, you know, so maybe that's why a lot of things came into fashion, then it just sort of fell out of fashion again, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, wizarding music, I reckon, is pretty good. There's quite a few like wizard rock bands in the real world who sort of name themselves after Harry Potter characters and they make what is called wizard rock songs.
Yeah.
Like the Remus Lupins and names of that fashion as well.
Hmm.
I've never heard any of their music, but I assume it's a pretty all right.
Yeah.
Celestina Warbeck's music is banging. If you've never listened to it, YouTube, it's so fucking good.
All I've heard of it is the little bit of You Stole My Cauldron that you sang me on a podcast episode.
Oh, when I get in, I'll record the chorus here and just send it to you a voice note just so you can hear it. It's so good. I'm not even kidding. It's so
Why not
good.
Just send me a link to it?
I guess mean? Because you're more likely to listen to the voice note than you are the link.
That's true. It'll be shitty quality.
Yeah, but you'll get the gist today.
All right, well, yeah, the teachers seem determined to keep them working right up until the end of term. Hermione's urging Harry to keep trying with the egg thing, and Harry's like, look, I've got fucking ages. Which I think is quite a lax attitude, really, because given how deadly the first task was, I'd be like, okay, I want to make sure I've got enough.
You're very much that kind of person, though. I think I have been known. I do have Harry's attitude. Just not because I'm being lazy, but just because, like, really important things, I don't want to have to deal with the stress of it, so I try and put it off as much as possible.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I do, whenever there's a deadline, I always do leave it till the very last minute. Like, yeah. All my uni work and all of that always got left till the last minute. But, like, I don't know. I think given how much stress the first task caused me and that it was facing off a fucking dragon, the second task is going to be something akin to that. And I've got a clue that I can work with. So I think that would be taking up a lot of my attention if it was me.
But I mean, it is just before Christmas as well. It's really hard to get kind of your thoughts past Christmas. I think a lot of time, it's why everything always starts when it gets to this time of year. It's like, yeah, we'll do that in the new year. It's never like, oh yeah, we'll do that in the run-up to Christmas. It's usually yeah, like, nah, thanks.
That's true, yeah. Fred and George come down into the common room and they're like, have you guys got dates for the ball yet? Oh, you should get on with it before all the girls are gone. And they're like, oh, have you got a date then? Who are you going with? He's like, Angelina. They're like, what? So you asked her then? He's like, oh, yeah, good point. Like, oh, Angelina, do you want to go to the ball with me? And she's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
And they're just like, man...
That level of confidence,
yeah,
man.
But it's like, it comes with a carefully cultivated persona.
Definitely,
I think,
definitely.
Like, there are people who can get away with it, and it just depends on, like, if Harry or Ron suddenly did that out of nowhere, it would feel weird. But because it's Fred slash George, whoever it was, it's understood that that's part of who they are. Like, I think it would feel really strange if Harry suddenly did that. It wouldn't have the same confidence and charm about it. So Ron's like, they're right, you know, they are going to run out. I don't want to end up going with some troll.
Yeah.
Hermione's like, ooh.
Doesn't he say something about Eloise Midgen?
Yeah. Which is a name I'm not sure we've heard before.
I feel like I have.
Like, up until this point.
No, we have, because someone says that, is it Professor Sprout? It's about the acne cure. And then she's like, oh, you'll end up like poor Eloise Midgen who tried to curse hers off. Or maybe Hermione says it.
Oh, maybe.
Because Ron says something about her boils or something like that, or her spots. And then Hermione's like, no, she's really lovely, you know. She's got a lovely personality or whatever.
Yeah, and Ron's like, yeah, like that matters. Yeah. And Hermione's like, oh, so you'll just take the best looking girl that will have you, even if she's completely horrible. He's like, yeah. And so Harry and Ron think, look, this is getting stupid. Let's agree. By the end of today, we're going to have partners.
Yeah.
All right? And they're like, okay, agreed. So Harry finds Cho somewhat sooner than he thought he would, surrounded by girls, and he's like, okay, look, just got to ask her for a private word. That's all. So he does. He goes to ask Cho, if he can have a quiet word. Yeah. And he's like, giggling should be made illegal. These fucking bitches.
Yeah, because all her friends are like...
As all girls
are. Was that racist?
And he basically just is like, do you want to go to the ball with me?
And she's like, what?
Sorry, I do. Do you want to go to the ball with me?
Yeah, and she's like, "Oh, Harry, really sorry, but I'm already going with Cedric." And he's like, "Ah, fuck."
Is she actually Scottish in the book, or is it just a Scottish actress?
No, so when they were doing the auditions, they were like seeing this like beautiful Chinese girl come in with this amazing Scottish accent, and they couldn't let her go. They were like, she has to be Cho, that's amazing.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, she's already going with Cedric, and it's super awkward.
Cho says no. So Harry goes back to the common room fucking feeling like the world is ending, which is so understandable. And then Ginny fucking carries Ron in, basically, and Ron's like all like shivering and white.
Yeah.
And then Ginny's like, yeah, he kind of just asked Fleur to go to the dance with him. But he said some weird lie.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what happened.
And then Harry's like, oh, you probably... She was talking to Cedric at the time. Then Harry's like, oh, she's part of Vila, Ron. You probably walked by as she was turning on like the Vila charm for Cedric.
Yeah,
you probably just got hit with the blast of it.
Caught in the tractor beam.
And fucking good on Cedric for saying like no still when he's getting Vila'd.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good man.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, he's from good stock. I appreciate that. It's a shame he dies.
I was trying to make sense of one of my notes and I can't.
What does it say?
It says, Hermione returns, and then in quotes, why weren't you at the ball? That doesn't make any sense, does it?
No.
Wonder what I was trying to... I obviously wrote the word ball just because I was meant to write another word. Why weren't you at the feast? At dinner?
Probably, yeah. And she's like, I was doing spew stuff. And Harry's like, Hermione, told you it's not good for you.
Well, Hermione asks them that, and Ginny's like, they've just been turned down by girls they've asked to the ball. She's like, oh.
Oh. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. Why don't you go together? And I was like, no, I ain't gay. And everyone's like, yeah, I'm not gay.
Harry, she thinks we're gay. Jesus. I mean,
maybe we should, like, you know, just see what happens. Yeah. just to make sure, you know.
Yeah.
Harry's like, look, just because I sucked you off in Transfiguration, don't mean I'm gay, though.
Just because we routinely have anal sex together doesn't make us gay, all right?
Just because I turn your ginger hair white doesn't mean we're a couple, you know. And then Ron sort of looks at Hermione like he's never looked at her before. Then he's like, Hermione, you're a girl.
Neville's right. You are a girl. And she's like, oh, well spotted. I remember that making me laugh a lot.
What, in the books?
Yeah.
What, like when you listen to it now?
When I read it as a kid. I don't know why, just something about that line, just Ron going, Hermione, Neville's right, you are a girl. And her going, oh, well spotted.
Yeah.
And then Ron's like, you could go with Harry and I'll just... No, she's like, yeah, Ginny, you could go with Harry and Hermione, we could go together. And then that's that sorted. And then Hermione's like, well...
She's like, I told you, I'm already going with someone.
Yeah,
and she's
like, yeah, pull the other one. And she won't tell. And then Ginny's like... And then, yeah, and that's it. And then Ron's like, she's obviously lying. And Ginny's
like, she's not.
No, she's not.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then Ron's like, all right, well, Ginny, you can go with Harry. I'll just go by myself. And then Ginny's like, well, no, I can't. And she tells him that she's going with Neville.
I'm going with Neville.
She wouldn't get to go otherwise because she's not old enough.
Oh, God. His face is not great, but at least he's got a date. It's Neville. Bah, bah, bah. So Harry's like, right, that's it. I'm fucking ending this once and for all. And then he slits his wrist, shoots Ron in the head.
And stabs Ginny through the chest for good measure.
He's like, oh, what a romantic murder suicide. It looks so picturesque. He's like, oh, where is Creevy and his camera when you need it? he sees Parvati and Lavender Brown walk into the room. Then he's like, hi, guys, right, have you got dates to the ball? And then they're like, no.
Well,
and he's like, do you want to go with me and Ron? No, Harry's like, do you want to go to the ball with me?
Yeah.
And then Parvati's like, okay. And then Harry's like, and Lavender, do you want to go with Ron? And she's already going with someone else.
I can't remember who, but she's already going with someone else.
Yeah, Evan is like, oh, do you know anyone else who can go with Ron? And she's like, well, my sister.
Do you know anyone who could go with Ron? Because it's getting a bit awkward.
And she's like, oh, my sister, she's in Ravenclaw. She might go, Padma. And then he's like, yeah, great. And then Harry's like, Harry prayed or hoped that Padma's nose wasn't out of line. Or she had a perfectly lined nose or something like that.
Because Ron had made some shitty comment about probably Eloise Midgen's nose being off-centre or whatever.
He needs to fucking leave Eloise Midgen alone. Oh my God.
Yeah. Low-hanging fruit, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're a kid, you just don't have that sense of empathy to...
I mean, when you're 31-year-old podcasters. Yeah. And then that brings us to the end of the chapter.
Yes, it does.
And the end of this episode. So thank you for sticking with us through as the fucking wheels came off. Oh, God. But yeah, please, guys, check us out on Instagram at PoorlyReadPod. Check us out on Twitter at PoorlyReadPod. Email us all your thingies at poorlyread@gmail.com.
All of your thingies.
Yeah, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. A lot of you have done it already, and it's been a massive help to us, actually. So please continue. Yes, and without any further ado,
we can skip this bit. I was going to say, do we want to mention what next week's episode is going to be?
I don't know what next week's episode is going to be.
The Christmas special.
Oh, fuck me. Fuck me with your Yule log.
To be fair, we're not certain exactly what Christmassy shape it's going to take yet.
Yeah, it's just going to be festive with snow and jingling bells.
It's going to be festive as fuck.
Yeah, it's going to be more festive than a fucking Coca-Cola truck coming down your fucking street. That's festive.
That is festive.
That's how we will know it's Christmas, when that fucking advert starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I haven't watched TV in years, I don't know when it starts now.
I don't know either, but I always get a notification from someone when it does. Yeah. They're like, guys, I've just seen it. I'm like, yes, you get in there. Holidays are coming.
What way's the real thing?
Yes, come. I'm really excited for next week's ep.
Yeah.
And you better listen to it on Christmas Day. Remember what I said before? I want you to put it on when your family's around Christmas dinner. Lock the door, turn it up real loud. Make sure Nana is sitting right next to the speaker. And put a sticker on your pot that says Mum's Gravy. Oh, God.
That Mum's Gravy thing is the most disgusting thing.
I just love how much mileage you managed to get out of it. Oh, God. I expect that will make its way into our merchandise canon at some point.
Oh, yeah, probably. Oh, God. We're that kind of podcast. Yeah. Oh, we knew that from the beginning.
Yeah, don't act surprised.
All right, so having promised no further ado, that was some significant further ado.
Yeah, much ado about nothing. So yeah, I have been Gifton.
And I have been Tom.
And Hagrid have been Hagrid. Bye.